here we go. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this January the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2018. And it's a Rumination Thursday, which means on the phone with us is our good friend, the Reverend Wes Rhymness. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, I'm having arguments with atheists.
Well, I'm in a warm spell right now.
In a warm spell?
Yeah, it's 24 degrees. I mean, we're having a heat wave up here.
Yeah, I came to Synod in my bathing suit. It was so good. That's not a good illustration. You gave me an interesting topic to look at, and it's one I hadn't really thought about, how what is referred to as the new atheists are arguing with the old atheists.
No, the new atheists is kind of interesting.
Sure is.
It developed itself out of actually some of the articles I read out of 9/11 with those bombings of those airplanes that went into the International Center, the World Trade Center.
By radical Muslims,
yeah.
What happened was that the new atheists came out against the radical Muslims.
Well, just recently they started in on the Christians first, saying Christians caused the violence.
Yes. So the point that you wanted us to make here is that some well-known atheists are also now against the Muslims for their extremist views and their murdering of others, and the old atheists don't like that, do they?
Yeah, there's a growing problem with that. Because they felt like Western Christianity caused the rise of Islam, and they were kind of the darling child. But as they point out, they're a very violent religion.
Yes. It says that they made the mistake of blasting Islam along with Christianity, and the left crucified them for it. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't like the fact that they brought that up, that there was a violent religion.
You see, and we're talking about pretty important atheists. Richard Dawkins, for example, he's now part of these new atheists. Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris. And they have been expelled from the party of atheists, in a sense, because of their, well, shall I say, coming out against Islam, and particularly the radical Muslims.
Right. Well, as they point out, Islam is not a religion of peace.
Yes. And we've had Al Schmidt on here, for example, on KFUO, making that point again and again, that if you just read the Quran, you will see that they are out to kill those who disagree with their points of view. And then take a look at Sharia law, another example of putting laws into areas of the United States that are actually contrary to the Constitution of the United States.
Right. Well, I think you bring up a good point. Take a look at what they write and teach. And they were the new atheists, as long as they were coming out against Christianity, was okay, but they weren't necessarily taking a look at what they were writing about and teaching about.
Yeah, I found a word I had never heard before, but it really was pretty good. What is referred to as Islamophobia? Now, that's not the word I'm thinking of, but let's get that one straight first.
Well, phobia, you know, is a fear
that's
of
correct.
Something.
Yes.
Yeah, fear of Islam, that's something, you got a fear of Islam being a bad religion.
Yeah, like gay phobia or abortion phobia, that you're, you know, afraid of those who do abortions and have gay marriage. But the new word I found, and I've never seen this before, is what many of the atheists have. It's a Christophobia.
Yes, I ran across it. I thought that was rather interesting. A fear of the Christians, huh?
Yes. And because they make a point, the atheists and even the new atheists do it even more so, that the real problem in the world today, the victims of violence, the wars, that they are caused by religion.
Well, hasn't that been a problem throughout the ages when you look at it?
No, I don't think it's ever been a problem.
How's that?
Because I don't consider anything that causes a problem, like violence, to be part of religion. It's part of the devil. It's not proper Christianity. Remember, Martin Luther wrote that interesting, against the murdering horde of peasants.
Peasants, yeah.
See, now that's Christianity, that you cannot bring the kingdom of God in with violence. And anyone who believes that, whether you're talking about Islamic radicals or the Ku Klux Klan or any other group, that's not true religion. That's a false religion.
Right. I would agree with you on that. I was thinking of, well, how would you answer, for instance, the fact that we responded to 9/11 and went after the terrorists that committed the bombings?
Well, that's like, how would you respond that we went after the Nazis or the Japanese when they bombed Pearl Harbor?
Just
because they were Japanese didn't mean we hated Japanese, and that's why we were going to war against them. We were going to war against the Nazis and the Japanese because of their unjust aggression, putting people in concentration camps, bombing Pearl Harbor, etc. And it just so happened that these people who did this were either German or Japanese.
Ah, very well said. I like that. That's a good response.
So this I find fascinating, that the old atheists are angry at the new atheists, because while the new atheists think all religion causes violence, the old atheists want to accept the Muslims from that, because they blame the Muslim radicals on westernization and how the West has treated them, rather than taking a look at their own religion.
Yeah. Well, one of the comments they make is they were victims of Western colonialism.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes.
And Islam was around before Western colonialism got in there.
Yes. In fact, we see this again and again, that those on the left are more concerned with not being seen as Islamophobia than they are in condemning Islamist zealotry.
Well, doesn't it come back to that term that you used before, Christian phobia that they have? It really is trying to get rid of Christ or God in their lives.
Yeah, what I found interesting is the word is not Christian phobia, but Christophobia.
Phobia, yeah.
It's Christ himself they can't stand.
Yeah, and when I ran across that, I guess, because one of the things that they talk about is the works of the unbeliever versus the works of the believers, that you don't really see any real big differences. But one of the passages that I came to mind was Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as beloved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's a loving God. He's not a God of violence.
No. And, of course, When I was talking to an atheist recently, he thought there was a different God of the Old Testament than of the New Testament, that the God of the Old Testament was real violent and unloving in contrast to what Christians think the God of the New Testament. And I made the point that, no, it's the same God in both. And in both cases, he's loving, merciful, and gracious.
Right. I thought that was rather key. That's why I ran across this new atheist. It was actually sent to me by our district exec, Ken Sherp. He kind of routed me into this, and I took a look at it. The more I got to looking at it, it's really talking about a work righteousness versus the believer unbeliever, whereas we've been discussing historical faith versus saving faith.
Yes. Well, what they say is the old atheists, they appreciate anybody who opposes Western capitalist domination, and they will find praise or at least some kind of rationalization for them from what are known as the liberals or progressives. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that's why they're against Christianity and not so much against Islam, because they think, as you said before, that Islam has come into problems because of what's been happening in the area of Western civilization with them, and they're just really combating that.
I read that too, and I got to thinking they really miss out on history altogether, and the problems that we see there. And I think you alluded to it on Tuesday, you and Mark, when you went over the hymn on the 30 years war and the devastation that went on in Europe for 30 years, and out of it came that hymn. And we're seeing all this destruction going on before us, and it's not because of God's violence. It's just a crazy world of as you say, the devil and the violence that he provokes on us.
Now, the reason we're talking about this on KFUO is because congregational members need to understand when they hear certain things from where it is coming. And for example, one of the things that they are hearing is that America is split into two camps. And here are the two camps. The first is the intelligent, sophisticated, urbane, righteous liberals, and then the other camp is the idiotic, gullible, backward, bigoted conservatives. And where is that coming from? It's coming from the fact that the former are considered to be atheists, and the latter ones are believers. And that's really why a lot of conservatives are considered. In fact, I think there was a presidential candidate who really spoke of many in the country in this negative view, and there are a number who think that she lost the election because of her negative view of Americans.
I'm sitting back laughing because I wholly agree with you that it's where you come in is where you come out. It's the same way with the Bible. You know, it's the view that you take on the Bible. Are you above it? Are you the interpreter, so to speak, or is the Bible God's word and God is the interpreter of the word?
Yeah. In other words, part of the problem with the new atheists is that they have really alienated a society that at one time did agree with them on a lot of things. But now that they're coming out against the Muslims and their radical ideology, this really disturbs a lot of people because they think that the Muslims are victims and they're just fighting for their rights and this sort of thing. And therefore, the new atheists, believe it or not, are being considered to be part of the right-wing group in the United States, which I find really interesting.
Well, I wouldn't really consider them part of the right-wing. I mean, even though they're being portrayed as that, It's only because of the fact that they consider violent the Islamics. But if you look deeper into some of the things that they talk about,
Oh, my, yes.
It's just not so.
Yeah, violent. Morality is about, you know, once evolution is believed, there are no grounds for morality.
Right. God is their science was another thing that I came across. Science is the only way to gain knowledge and nothing else, you know.
And they say that science is on the basis of evidence, but the old atheists don't have any evidence at all that there is no God.
You know, and I started looking for that. One of them, that Dawkins that you brought up, said
yes.
Statistically it's impossible that for the existence of God, and I went looking for his statistics and couldn't find them.
No. And that's because, remember last week I talked about my conversation with an atheist, and I found out how Lutheran he was. Remember how I said that?
Yeah, because you agree with... Wasn't it because you agree with him that our God is not a God, would not be a work righteous God?
So exactly. The God he denies and says does not exist is the God that Lutherans say do not exist also. Namely, a God who's going to take you to heaven because of your good works or send you to hell because of your sin.
And that when you brought that up and I looked at this new atheism that went in there, it just rang true all the way through there, you know, of what you had said.
Yeah, because the new atheists, part of the reason they're against Christianity and the Muslim is they believe that the religious principles are believed by these radical Christians like the Ku Klux Klan and radical Muslims like ISIS to the point that they don't see anything wrong with putting to death the infidels.
Right. Well, and we would say that the Ku Klux Klan and some of these radicals are just as bad as the Islam terrorists that go out killing people. Violent in the name of religion. It's just not what we are taught, especially through the word itself.
Yeah, if you take a look at the distinction between radical Muslims who will throw homosexuals off of roofs because they believe that their God doesn't like homosexuals because of their behavior. We Christians also agree with that behavior is abhorrent to God, but we're not going to throw somebody off the roof.
Wouldn't you say, though, I mean, you also brought up in the past, though, that there are really two distinct religions. There's man's religion, there's God's religion. In man's religion, they're making God into their own image.
Yes. And, you know, that image is of a view of God where people can make up their own morality. I don't make any distinction in my mind between a member of ISIS who will kill homosexuals and a woman who commits abortion.
Mm.
They're the same because they both are using their own understanding to put a human being to death because that human being doesn't have the right to live anymore.
Wouldn't you say, you know, coming back to this Christophobia that you talked about earlier?
Yes.
Wouldn't you say that part of that is fact that in order to be part of the church is one of your criteria is you have to be a sinner?
Yes, and a lot of people think the church is filled with hypocrites, and when they say that, what they mean, they think a Christian is a person who says, I'm a really good person, and then they sin all week long. That's not the definition of a hypocrite. That's the definition of a Christian. A Christian is a person who realizes what is wrong, wishes and prays that he could not do it, but guess what? According to Romans 7, the things I want to do, I'm unable to do, and the things I want to stop from doing, I'm unable to stop from doing.
Yeah, you know, you beat me to it. I had that mark for today, I thought. And finally, Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, the passage right after that, Romans 8, there is now no condemnation. In fact, that's what they were talking about in the Bible study between 8 and 9 today, that particular passage. And that's the point that they made, that what Paul does in Romans, they said, in the first seven chapters, he actually blasts out of the water any view of anybody that they can become righteous in God's sight by their works.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other passage that, I had marked for today was 2 Corinthians 5. We walk by faith, not by sight.
That's right. And what faith means is believing what the Bible says in regard to the promises connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus. So there's no evidence that those promises are sure, but the Holy Spirit has placed in our hearts a blind faith that believes it because that's what God says.
Right. And I thought that when I looked at all of those, Ephesians 5, Romans 7 and 8, and 2 Corinthians 5, it really talks about a different life that we have with Christ. And the phobia is work righteousness, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why, as Romans says, people try to excuse themselves from their sins, and they do so by denying there is a God.
God, yep.
If there's one thing that people who are atheists have, it's a fear of God.
Well, you would have to, because they have nowhere to go to find salvation.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Martin Luther, remember what he says about the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We should fear, but then they don't have the next two, love and trust.
Yep. Yeah, he also said in the Large Catechism, didn't he say, show me what person worships the most, values the most.
That's your God. Yeah, you know, this idea that how can you love something you fear? Well, were you never a child with parents? Yeah. Did I fear my mother and father when I did wrong? Absolutely. Did when I love them? Absolutely. Yeah. So this idea that fear and love cannot exist at the same time is really ridiculous.
You know, thanks be to God that we have our churches that are proclaiming the good news. And like you said, what was it? If somebody was leaving the church, yes, they should, if they're not hearing the word of God. But the other part of it, I would say, is find yourself a good Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. We've got so many good pastors out there that are proclaiming that saving message of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and that message is such that it is totally unknown to many people. And even its, how shall I say, application is unknown even to many Lutherans. That's why a Lutheran needs to attend not only church, but also Bible study every week, where we show the insights of a passage that really are kind of hidden because of the English translation or because of the ignorance concerning the cultural times of Jesus.
Right. You know, the baptism of Jesus was, it was quite interesting when you made that statement. When did Jesus become sin for us?
Yes.
Was at his baptism.
Yeah, not at his crucifixion, not in the Garden of Gethsemane, but earlier than that at his baptism, where he says to John, I must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And that was a baptism of repentance.
Yes.
And John says, no, I need to be baptized by you, not vice versa. But by Jesus taking on the sin of the world, he had done the two things that made him ready to be crucified. Number one, he had become a human being. And number two, he had become a sinner for us.
And isn't that the wonderful good news that we live by day, especially the good that I would, that I should, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do ends up being the thing I do. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ.
And that's why in chapter 8, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Right.
And in Christ means believing the promises of the gospel. That's what we need to get across to people, because many of them already fear God. That's why some of them have become atheists. But that fear can now be used as a way of saying, guess what? The God that you fear, he doesn't exist.
I think you're onto something when you were questioning him and finding out where it was coming from, that atheist. And it becomes a way for us to speak to many people in our pews, find out what's on their mind, what kind of God they're worshiping.
Recently, I communed a shut-in who was talking about the grandfather who was a, how did she put that? Fire and brimstone preacher. Now, you know that was talking about a God that doesn't exist.
Yes. Scare him out of hell, right?
Exactly. And a lot of people have grown up with that. And I am not surprised why we have a lot of nuns now. N-U-N-O-N-E-S.
Right. I think you're on to something there.
Absolutely.
And the need to point them to a loving Christ. And that's where Ephesians 5, again, came, that first couple of verses. We talk about the love of Christ, the imitators of Christ's love.
Well, thanks for this topic. It helped me. I was unaware of a number of things with the materials you sent me. Start searching for next week's topic, and hopefully you'll be back with us again, right, Reverend Reimnitz?
Oh, I can't wait. I enjoy it.
All right. I'm Tom Baker, and that was Reverend Reimnitz. And tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.